Lesson number 18, Saul's failure. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The early part of Saul's reign was full of promise. So long as he was humble and placed his confidence in the strength of Yahweh, success followed. One of Saul's first tasks was to subdue the Ammonites who were threatening the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, 1 Samuel 11, verse 1. His leadership in overcoming the Ammonites was encouraging, but the most impressive aspect of his victory was that he gave God the praise as the one who had really obtained victory for Israel. Today the Lord hath wrought salvation for Israel, verse 13. It seemed as though the people's desire for better leadership was to be realized in Saul, but the story of his decline and ultimate rejection as king is one of the most tragic recorded in Scripture. Our aim in this lesson is to outline the reasons for Saul's rejection and to understand the principles of divine acceptance. 1 Samuel 13 and 15. The Philistines threaten Israel. 1 Samuel 13 verses 1 to 7 reads, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, and in thickets, and in rocks, and in high places, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. We read in 1 Samuel 7, verse 13, that the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. It was in the early part of Saul's reign that they began to make inroads into the territory of Israel again. It appears as though God allowed this to happen in order that the faith of Saul might be tested. In the 3rd year of Saul's reign, his son Jonathan determined to do something about the Philistine problem. He courageously smote their garrison at Geba, which was about 15 kilometers north of Jerusalem. Saul, naturally elated over this success, published the news of this victory far and wide amongst the people. Verses 1 through 4. The subduing of the garrison was the signal for more concerted attacks on the Philistines, and so all the people were called together at Gilgal to plan the future moves. But the Israelites were not the only ones preparing for battle, for the Philistines, smarting under the defeat at Geba, were also busy organizing themselves for war. Verse 5. They amassed a mighty force, including many chariots, and stationed themselves at Michmash, which was about 25 kilometers west of Gilgal. This in itself challenged the faith of Saul, and when it was accompanied by the fear of his own people, he failed. Instead of putting trust in Yahweh, the people were thrown into complete disarray. Some hid themselves in caves and thickets, others in the rocks and inaccessible places, while still others fled over the river Jordan to the land of Gilead. We can imagine what sort of an effect this would have had on Saul, and the record very poignantly states, As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Verse 7. Saul's test of faith and obedience. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Here was a great test of faith for Saul. He had been commanded to wait in Gilgal for 7 days until Samuel arrived to offer the burnt and peace offerings to God before launching an attack on the Philistines. but the situation surrounding Saul was far from encouraging. A fierce army was just 25 kilometers away to the west, and he had a fearful and trembling people on every side. What would you have done under these circumstances? We know what Saul did, but let us remember that these incidents were recorded for our learning and admonition. There will be times in our lives when we, too, will be placed in circumstances demanding the utmost faith. Remember, God never tests us above that which we are able to bear. Placed in this unenviable position, Saul should have called to mind the encouraging words of Samuel spoken to him when he was anointed as king. Do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. 1 Samuel 10 verse 7. And had not God been with him? Saul had acknowledged this when he mightily destroyed the Ammonites not so long before, 1 Samuel 11 verse 13. And had not God promised so many years before, through the mouth of Moses, ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Leviticus 26 verses 7 and 8. Had Saul meditated upon these matters, the problems could have been overcome, but instead he failed through lack of faith. Saul's disobedience and rejection as king. 1 Samuel 13 verses 9 through 22. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose, and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul, and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual, and another company turned the way to Beth-horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass, in the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. As each of the 7 days went by, Saul became more and more afraid of his position. Finally, when the seventh day had almost ended and Samuel had not appeared, he decided in desperation to offer the burnt and peace offerings himself. He assumed that God would overlook this departure from the appointed way of worship. This was a very foolish action. He should have known that only those appointed by God could offer sacrifices and that any other method was useless. Later in Israel's history, another king, Uzziah, disregarded God's law and offered incense. For this he was smitten in the forehead with leprosy. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 to 21. This is Yahweh's estimation of such presumption. Saul had no sooner finished offering than, alas, Samuel arrived on the scene and inquired as to what had been done. In his reply, Saul freely admitted that he had offered sacrifices because he was afraid. He was little prepared for the harsh words or rebuke that followed. In his mind, he thought that although he had broken a command, Samuel needed only to forgive the wrong and all would be well. But the reply from Samuel is a revelation as to how Yahweh looks upon disobedience to his commands. Thou hast done foolishly, and as a consequence, his kingdom would not be established. Though not specifically rejected himself as yet, 1 Samuel 15 verse 26, succession of his seed and the throne was. God was seeking for a man after his own heart, for upon the heart he looks, and not the stature, 1 Samuel 13 verse 13 and 14, 16 verse 7, and Psalm 89 verse 20. We can visualize the tragic scene as Samuel turned his back on Saul and returned to Gibeah, leaving the dejected king with a small number of disillusioned followers. Saul could have achieved a great victory over the Philistines had he obeyed, but instead Israel was humbled before the Philistines, who encroached upon their territory, verses 17 to 22. Saul and the Amalekites, an opportunity for repentance, 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 to 3. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and camel, sheep and ass. A further test of Saul's faith was soon to arise. The opportunity came for him to show that he had learnt a lesson at Gilgal. From the position of weakness, Saul had risen again and had carried out some crushing defeats on the surrounding nations, 1 Samuel 14. Then Samuel came to him with instructions concerning the Amalekites, verses 1 to 3. It is important to note that Samuel's opening words to Saul, Now therefore hearken. The instructions were very clear. He was to utterly destroy the Amalekites and all that they had, man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. No doubt could arise as to the extent of destruction to be carried out. Moreover, implicit in Samuel's words was the fact that continuation of his kingship depended on his obedience. Verse 1. There was a reason for this destruction, which at first glance appears very severe. The Amalekites were the first nation to attack the children of Israel after they left Egypt, and thus frustrated their walk towards the Promised Land, Numbers 24, verse 20. With Yahweh's strength, Joshua overcame them, and, after the victory, God commanded Moses to write as a memorial in a book that he will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Exodus 17, verse 14. Later, at the end of 40 years wandering, Moses recounted this incident and reminded the people how this cowardly nation smote the weak and feeble of the children of Israel who had fallen behind the rest. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 and 18. He then repeated God's intention to utterly destroy this nation. The Amalekites became a fitting symbol of sin, against which we war continually as we walk to the Promised Land. Saul treats lightly the divine command. 1 Samuel 15, verses 4 through 9. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Had Saul appreciated God's estimation of the Amalekites, he would have carried out the command to the letter. But from this incident, as at Gilgal, we come to understand how Saul thought and acted. He was not a spiritually minded man, and he lacked appreciation of divine principles. He thought that God would be satisfied with something less than he had specified, and would overlook minor details. And so, alas, what do we find? Instead of utterly destroying everything as commanded, he spared Agag and the best of the animals, stating that he intended to sacrifice them to God at a later stage. Here was an excellent motive, so he reasoned. Even if he had not done exactly what God had told him, how could God be displeased with him? But Saul had utterly missed the point of the whole instruction. No matter how good his intentions may have been, they were worthless and useless if that which had been commanded was not carried out. To obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10 to 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. God, who searches the thoughts and intents of the heart, saw all that had been done and not done. On being informed, Samuel, who no doubt hoped that Saul would have shown a different attitude, was extremely grieved and cried unto Yahweh all night. Verse 11. The next day he went down to Saul at Gilgal, weary of heart. Saul approached him in all confidence, elated by his triumph, and said to Samuel, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 13. But Samuel was not impressed by such a display of righteousness. With a touch of irony, he replied, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Verse 14. The voices of the animals testified against Saul, declaring he had not kept God's commandment. Saul protested that he had a reason for keeping the animals, but it was to no avail. The command was simple. He had broken it, and thus nothing but denunciation could follow. Verse 17-19. Samuel reminded him that when he was little in his own eyes, God had made him king. Surely then, the least he could do was to obey God's commands. Saul made one further attempt to justify his action. He claimed that he had in fact obeyed the voice of the Lord, but the people had spared some of the animals to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Such self-justification may have been effective before fellow man, but it was inadequate before God's appointed representative, Samuel. In Samuel's words of rebuke that follow, the relative value of sacrifice and obedience is crystallized for the first time. The very essence of sacrifice is obedience. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Many sacrifice, but few hear the word and obey, which is more important than any good motive. The religious world, in its efforts to please the people, has discarded the word of God, like Saul. No longer, in many sects, is belief of the gospel and baptism taught as essential for salvation. Instead, they believe that good works will merit salvation and find acceptance in God's sight. The basis of Saul's sin was faithlessness. He was more conscious of the people than God and acted accordingly. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. Notice how the following passages of Scripture, all written at a later time, show obedience to be more important than sacrifice. Psalm 40:6-8, 50:8-9, 51:15-17, Proverbs 15:8, Ecclesiastes 5:1, and Jeremiah 7:22-23. In order to emphasize the magnitude of Saul's sin before his spiritually dull perception, Samuel went on to equate rebellion with witchcraft and stubbornness with iniquity and idolatry. Just how true is that equation was seen in the last events of Saul's life when his faithlessness actually led him to witchcraft, 1 Samuel 28. Previously, his seed had been rejected from succeeding upon his throne. Now he himself was rejected from being king. Lessons for us. Saul did not think that his sin was as great as it was. It does us well to seriously contemplate our own actions before the eyes of Him who sees all. None would consider themselves guilty of idolatry and witchcraft, yet in our everyday life, our thoughts and actions can amount to these. Saul was disobedient because he would not humbly accept the instructions of God's word, but followed his own feelings and reasoning. Never a wise course. Today we live in a society where obedience and respect for authority is scoffed at by many, and there is a danger that such a careless attitude might rub off onto us. Our Heavenly Father is merciful and forgiving, but on the other hand, will by no means clear the guilty, as Saul found out to his sorrow. Reference Library, The Man David, H. Tennant, pages 15-18. The Visible Hand of God, R. Roberts, Chapter 23. Paragraph Questions. 1. How was Saul put to the test at Gilgal, and how did he fail? 2. Why did God appoint the Amalekites to utter destruction? 3. Outline Samuel's conversation with Saul when he returned from the destruction of the Amalekites. Essay Questions. 1. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Explain this statement and give examples from the life of Saul. 2. Why was Saul rejected from being king? 3. What lessons can we gain from the failures in Saul's life?